Welcome one and all to this week's episode of the Dollar Bin comic book podcast show. I know you guys don't listen to the Dollar Bin to listen to Sean and I. At least I know you don't listen to me. I know many of you enjoy hearing Sean's lovely voice.
Hey, everybody.
But unfortunately, because I own all the equipment and I know how to do everything, I'm kind of stuck getting things done when things ain't done. And in this case, it's been really hard for the Dollar Bin guys to get together. I promised that we're gonna bring some solid shows to you guys, and it's gonna be a solid mix of shows. And one of the ways around all this is I'm gonna end up pre-recording a lot of stuff with the Dollar Bin guys, and we're gonna break things up into segments and things like that. This is gonna be my first attempt at a segment show. Unfortunately, most of the segments are gonna include Sean and or myself. And not a lot of the other guys right now, but Charlotte MiniCon is this Saturday in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes, it is. And 11 to 5 p.m.
Pretty much all the Dollar Bin guys are going to be there for the Charlotte MiniCon, and I'm going to take that as an opportunity to go ahead and start getting all this stuff for these variety shows, these Dollar Bin contributor variety shows. Also, we have a pretty big interview lined up this Sunday that I'm going to be doing with Joel. With comic writer Mike Carey, anybody? I think he's been mentioned on the show once or twice. Dude, Mike Carey, awesome. Crossing Midnight, some X-Men stuff. I don't really read his X-Men stuff, but Unwritten is awesome right now. Yeah, Mike Carey, Joel and I are going to be sitting down with him. If anybody has any questions that they would like us to ask Mike Carey, go ahead and send an email to adam@thedollarbin.net. Or if you want it to actually get done, go ahead and send it to joel@thedollarbin.net. He's the one that writes all the questions and puts together the question forms. So go ahead and shoot those emails out if you guys have any questions for Mike Carey. Let's see, what else is there? Sean and I were out of town this week. We were in Portland, Oregon. It was our second trip out there this year cycle, the last six months. First time we went out there, we hit a few comic shops. I don't remember if we ever actually talked about them, but this time around, we went ahead and we took our second trip to
Cosmic Monkey. Last time we went, we went to three different comic book stores. We went to Floating World, which is pretty much all indie. I mean, they had some, you know, mainstream stuff, but it was the main focus of it was indie comics. Then we went to Things from Another World, which was pretty much all mainstream. It was a very superhero-driven store. But the third one we went to was Cosmic Monkey, and it was a perfect marriage of indie and superhero. Yeah. Like, it's one of the best stores I've ever been to. I mean, it's just got a great mix of mini comics, and it's got a huge selection of trades. It's got great back issues. It's just a really cool store.
Up until recently, if I was going to compare it to a shop, I mean, I'd have to compare it to Heroes, aren't hard to find, and because of the mix of indie and superhero. But this steps it up. Cosmic Monkey steps it up. And I say that, and they have an entire loft in the store, which I love lofts, man. Like, in stores, they just seem really cool because it gives you a good view of the store, and also it's just kind of hip to be up there, you know? The loft is dedicated completely to, I'm going to say, mini comics. There's some Fantagraphics stuff up there and a few other things. Mitch Rogers is Boger. Mitch Rogers is a local creator in Greenville, South Carolina. He had a couple copies of Boger that were up there. The Boger. I think there was, some J. Chris Campbell stuff. Mm-hmm. And I believe there was a Curl Studio. And I know some Liz Bailey. There's a lot of the mini comics guys. These guys, Cosmic Monkey, they really get around. They really look for the mini comic stuff. And they go to shows and things like that. But the cool thing about it to me with that whole mini comic section is at Heroes, you know, there's a couple bookshelves with some mini comics laying on them. It's really hard for people to figure out what to do with mini comics. I get it. Yeah. But that whole loft idea, all those comics up there, was really, really cool. You got to see a lot of West Coast mini comic creators. And you don't really get to see that because mini comics guys don't travel that far, you know? They hit the East Coast shows and they hit the West Coast shows, but rarely ever do the East Coast guys head over to the West Coast. It's a good opportunity to go by there without having to go to a show and get a look at the mini comics on that side of the states.
And since they go to a lot of shows, they get I guess, convention sketches of a cosmic monkey. So they tell the creator, I want a cosmic monkey. And so they have all these interpretations all around the store. I'm trying to think of all the people that are there. Paul Pope. Oh, I don't even remember.
J. Chris Campbell, Andy Runton.
I posted some of them on...
Joey Weiser.
I think my Facebook page?
Probably. I still have some pictures from it.
Mind-blowing. All the people that they got to do that.
Yeah. They go all the way around the top of the store.
Yeah. I mean, you can just tell that the owners and the workers are very dedicated, and it takes a lot of time to go out there and search for the indie comics and buy them and kind of cultivate customership to come in and buy them. I mean, just all the stuff goes into being able to make mini comics and of, you know, financial, what am I trying to say?
Well, honestly, looking, they may make some money on mini comics, but really they're just supporting mini comics, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, somebody has to buy them. I mean, it takes so much time and dedication to go out there and to try and figure out which ones to carry in the store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you can really tell that they've kind of...
They know what's hip, and they know what to advise people. You know, they find some good stuff to get out there. And yeah, like Sean said, you can definitely tell that the people there care. Really good customer service.
Yeah.
They ask questions. They don't just kind of ask you. You know, they don't bother you, but they don't just be like, hey, you know, just let me know if you need anything. Like, they'll ask you, you know, hey, are you looking for anything in particular? Sean and I were picking up a stack of books. It was for Sean's birthday. Sean's birthday was this past Sunday. And that's when we went by. Cosmic Monkey was open on Sunday. We went by there, and we picked up a stack of books. I had some mini comics, and Sean had some mini comics, and Sean bought Crickets there. And, you know, when we were buying it, the guy that was ringing us up, who was like, you know, just, hey, how are you guys doing? Where, you know, do you guys live around here? Just kind of like things like that. They had a sale going. And also, you know, he was asking about, do we live around? And we were like, well, no, you know, we're from South Carolina. We're on the East Coast, and we were visiting my grandfather's birthday, and he was like, well, you know, if you guys get a chance to go by, like, the other shop down in downtown Portland, which Sean had mentioned, what is it?
Floating World.
Yeah, Floating World, and that's cool, man, to say, hey, you know, I got kind of looking at the stuff that you guys bought, and I know that you guys will like this other shop if you haven't been there, and go check it out. They're going to have some cool stuff for you.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
I mean, Portland definitely has a comics community, and everybody wants to support each other.
Yeah. Yeah, so kudos to Cosmic Monkey. And we had a good time there, and I look forward to going there every time I visit Portland.
Yeah.
That is the end of the first time you will hear the segment, Sean and Adam Go to Comic Shops. We'll talk about some other ones. We've been traveling a lot lately, and we like to try to hit some of those comic shops, and we'll chat about them a little bit. What we liked, what we didn't like, things like that. So, thanks for listening. On to the next segment. You know, I plan on putting together a bunch of music to break all these segments up. I just haven't had time to write any of it. I have some ideas. This next segment is going to be a we were talking on the last couple shows. I've been bringing it up a lot lately. And the question is, and Sean and I just talked about a comic shop. And the question is, what goes into a good comic shop? What makes a good comic shop? What makes a comic shop stand out? I know that's not just a question. It's many questions. But that question, we're going to go ahead and have it answered in this next segment. What goes into a good comic shop? Or what makes a good comic shop? I don't know. We'll see how the music goes when I write it, and that'll tell us what the actual name of the segment is. We're gonna get the answer from the new owner of Borderlands in Greenville, South Carolina, Rob Young, who owns Borderlands Comics, Cards,
and Games,
and Games, and
just
cards.
Comics and Games.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna make it longer just for you.
One of the things that, well, what we were talking about is, you know, what goes into a good comic shop. And so I figured, since Rob just bought a comic shop, he's been making a few changes. I figured I'd ask Rob what he thinks goes into a good comic shop.
For me, I came from a retail background before I ever started working in comics. So a lot of those things are basic tenets of retail. For me, one of the things, the last thing you mentioned, customer service. A lot of comic shops, I don't know, I guess because they're a niche business and maybe they're the only shop in their market that take it for granted. I think at the end of the day, that almost can make up for everything else. If people come in and it's not that, and looking at my store, I've done some reorganization. You talk about keeping stock up. We added 252 new spaces to our comic rack by adding two new racks to it, to our new comic section, which makes it massive. I mean, it's absolutely huge. And we added space to add more graphic novels. We already have a lot, but we want to carry more. So all those things are important. But at the end of the day, if you are out of stock of something, or your vacuum cleaner broke, or whatever your situation is, if you're taking care of people the right way, and they get a good feeling from you, and they feel welcome, they're going to overlook it. They're going to come back and get the book from you next week when your reorder comes in, rather than run to Books a Million or go to your competitor. And at the end of the day, I think customer service makes up for a lot of things. You know, how many restaurants do you go to that are a mom and pop restaurant that you absolutely love, and the one time you get a bad meal, you don't even care because the last 50 were awesome. And I think that's a lost art.
So what are you doing here at Borderlands to make your shop an awesome comic shop?
We're doing a lot of different things. I mean, we're improving the lighting, and that's helped. And I mentioned adding the new comics, the rack with that, more graphic novels. We've got some space above our new comic rack that we feel like isn't utilized real well and will be difficult to use as retail space. So we're going to be putting up reproductions of famous comic covers printed on foam core. But in between those, we're going to have, I guess for lack of a better term, banners, not an actual banner, but it's also on foam core. Listings that say, Free Comic Book Day is this date. Check our Facebook page. Check our website. Email us if you have any questions. Here's our phone number. So all those things are going to be above the new comic rack when you walk in, and it's 15-foot ceilings. You're going to see these huge things up there with all this information, and people are going to gather it in whether they intend to or not. They may be at home and go, hey, I got a Facebook page. Then if they're on that, it's easy when we get something cool in, you post it up, they're going to know that we're having a signing or we're having an art group coming or something like that. Yeah, they're going to get that information by doing that.
Is there anything that really turns you off on a shop when you go into something like that?
They don't greet you when you walk in the door.
Yeah.
You know, at least say hi.
Yeah.
Typically, yeah. Just trying to find out what you're looking for so they can direct you to it faster. You may just be browsing, but you might also be in a rush on your lunch break. So at least take 10 seconds to find out. One of the things I didn't mention earlier, at the end of customer service, it's kind of, and I mentioned it on another interview we did at one point, but it's about creating a community where people feel comfortable. You know, for us, we're going to throw a couple either chairs or love seats in near our rack. We want you comfortable. We want this to be a place that, you know, it's like coming home when you come in. And we're looking for that type of feeling out of people. And if you ask what people remember about situations, they tend to remember their feelings before they remember anything else. So if you can get them to feel comfortable when they come in, they think of your store, they're going to be comfortable and they're going to want to come back. You know, they're not going to have any issues coming back. Even if it's the girlfriend of the guy that likes the comics, she just likes to sit in the chair and relax while he looks for his stuff and play on her iPhone. You know, you've overcome a barrier to him coming in when they go out on a date, you know?
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, thanks a lot, Rob.
Thanks, Adam. Have a good one, man.
I'm going to go ahead and let Sean introduce this one, and she'll take it from here.
Take two. Wait, take three. Hey everybody, this is Sean with Dollar Bin. I usually do a weekly article on the website called Sean Says Spotlight on New Releases, but I wasn't able to do one for the week of January 12th because Adam and I went out of town. So instead, I'm going to do an audio one. So I'm going to spotlight the 5 books that I purchased this week. And the first one I want to talk about is Thor the Mighty Avenger, number 8. This is the final issue of Thor the Mighty Avenger. They even changed it to a limited series. This is 8 of 8. Although it was just announced that one of Marvel's Free Comic Book Day books is going to be the Captain America Thor with Roger Langridge and Chris Somney. So it's pretty much going to be a quote-unquote Thor the Mighty Avenger number 9. So that is really exciting. But yeah, I mean, just flipping through, the art looks amazing. I'm really excited to read it and really sad all at the same time. It's really disappointing to see this book go away. I mean, I can't believe it was canceled. I don't know why they didn't at least make it to issue 12. Roger Langridge had this whole kind of story arc planned, and kind of the first one ended the big story arc with issue number 12, and they're only 4 issues away, and with all the garbage that Marvel's been publishing right now, I don't know why they couldn't afford to just publish 4 more issues of this. I don't know. They needed to make room for, more Captain America books coming out. Another Thor book, maybe? I mean, there's already, 8 of them? Anyways, I'm bitter. It's okay. But yeah, I will read this and enjoy it. and look forward to the free comic book day book coming out in May. Next up, I picked the first issue of The Infinite Vacation. It's written by Nick Spencer with art by Christian Ward. Christian Ward, you may remember him from Olympus with Nathan Edmondson. His art's really bright, vibrant, colorful. It's like watercolors. It's just very trippy, I guess is the word. Like, I really dig it. And Nick Spencer is a really good writer. He's been popular these days with Morning Glories and Demi Olsen backup in Action Comics and a lot of other stuff that I can't think of right now, but his name keeps popping up, so I wanted to pick this up and give it a try. It looks really good. Honestly, I have no clue what is it about. Like, none. Like, I have no idea what the story's about. Something about commercial enterprise and travel. Sounds interesting. I look forward to reading it. And next up, I've got Doc Savage number 10 with a sweet J.G. Jones cover. That was a new artist. Oh, and Ivan Brandon is the only credited writer on this issue. He'd been co-writing it with Brian Azzarello, so that's interesting. And art by Phil Winslade. It looks really good. I did not know that there was a new artist. Nick Klein has been doing the art, but it looks good. I'm excited. Also, I picked up Deadpool number 31, because I like Deadpool. Shut up. I just read the main Deadpool title. I don't read any of the other ones, but I like it. It's fun. It's a goofy, fun book, and I like it. It's not, like, best written thing ever, but it amuses me. Good job, Daniel Way. Dude, I don't know who the artist is. I don't know this guy from anything else besides Deadpool. His name is Bong Dazo? What kind of name is that? Anyway, I think there are vampires in this issue that could be cool, I guess. And a mummy. Is that a mummy of vampires? I have no idea what's going on. But I will read it and enjoy it. So you guys can suck it. I like Deadpool. And now for something completely different. Crickets number 3. It is by Sammy Harkham. And it is about as indie as you can get. Looks like this one's, you know, kind of a collection of some stories. It's like, I think it's bigger than the last ones. And I know that the cover stock is thinner. But, I mean, it looks really well done. I like the, kind of the two-tonedness of it. It smells pretty. This one was published by Drawn Quarterly. Really don't know what to say about Sammy Harkham that hasn't already been said. I think I'm the first person to say anything. Well, I haven't really even said anything. I like Sammy Harkham, and I like his work. Previous two issues of Crickets were really, really well written. I mean, the stories were just very deep and yet simplistic. And I'm excited to read this issue and see what it brings. Special note, I bought this comic at Cosmic Monkey in Portland, Oregon. And that is one of, like, the best shops I've ever been to, I think. But yeah, I really look forward to sitting down and reading something a little bit more intellectual than perhaps some of my other offerings. You know, Doc Savage, Beat 'Em Up, Deadpool is Deadpool. The end.
All right, so again, moving on with the whole segment thing. This next segment is a segment that I've been meaning to put together for quite some time now. It is the Dollar Bin Comic Book Monologue. I've really been wanting to do this. Brian's been giving me shit for not following through with it, and I finally did. So what I would like to do with this comic book monologue is whoever can tell me the book that the comic book monologue is from, I would prefer the title and issue number, but I'm going to go ahead and accept just title. And whoever can, in the comments section of this post, name the title of the book that this monologue is from, I will send a copy of the book, the issue. I will send a copy of the issue that this monologue is from to anybody in the continental United States. I will send it to anybody. You name them, I'll send it there. Sorry, Andrew. I just can't afford Australia right now.
Do they need their address?
Yes, address would help. So I know how to send it to them. There we go. Monologue. I'm about to read it. You tell me in the comment section what book the monologue is from, what, and I will send that issue to anybody you want me to of, you know, I'll need the address. So go ahead and, you know, you can email me the address. You don't have to put that on the comment section. And so welcome to Dollar Bin Comic Book Monologues. He was everything I was looking for a guy back then. Chivalrous, charming, cute. He was nice. He walked me and my friend home, and we chatted the whole way. About classes,
campus, movies, the Knicks. He made an excellent first impression. What can I say? I was smitten. I spent the day with him. I spent the rest of the week with him, going to the movies, hitting the books, going out to eat. I thought he would be the one, and he was. I just didn't realize which one. Some studies say 1 in 4 women are raped in their lifetime. There are other studies that put the figure at 1 in 9. Even if the figure was 1 in 10 million, it'd still be too much. I spent the rest of the week in a daze. I was too ashamed to tell anybody. Like an idiot, I thought it was somehow my fault. I never reported it. I never told anyone. He took something from me that day, and it wasn't just my virginity. He took who I saw myself as. He took my identity. And I wasn't alone. According to the Department of Justice statistics, a woman is raped in America every 2.5 minutes. Think about that. In the time it's taken me to tell you this story, how many women have been victims of sexual assault? That's when it hit me. I wouldn't let what happened to me become just another statistic. In a selfish moment, that man stole my life from me. I told him no, and he didn't care. He didn't listen. It was a hate crime, and it gave birth to a hatred that demanded justice. Blood called for blood. The solution was simple then. I was gonna kill my attacker. I'd refused all of his subsequent calls to my dorm room, and I hadn't seen him since that night. I didn't want to think of him as a person anymore, just as an aggressor. I trained for months. I'd studied multiple fighting styles, and I knew the blows which would be the deadliest. I didn't care what happened to me afterwards. Prosecution, jail. All I wanted was to right my wrong. But the universe beat me to it. All that training and preparation for nothing. I was so furious. I was a gun ready to go off, but I had no more target. He stole my life, and I wanted to steal his. He stole my life, and I wanted to steal his. And now I'd never get that chance. It left me feeling reckless. That night, I stole my first diamond. This led to more and more robberies. And soon, I didn't think about what had happened with Ryan anymore. I justified it to myself. Something was stolen from me, so I started stealing back. I built myself a new identity. I was no longer Felicia Hardy, the naive freshman who'd been date raped. From then on, I was Felicia Hardy, thief extraordinaire.
All right, so some of you, you know, who made it through that, I will point out a little clue, a little hint, a little note that I only read the narration, the monologue portion of that issue. There was a bunch of character dialogue going on in between the narration. I focused on the narration, on the monologue portion of that book. If that makes it a little easier for somebody, there's your clue. Finally, let's go ahead and close out this Dollar Bin Variety Spectacular, this segment show, with a little fun segment that we'll stick in here and there, and it is called Reading Tweets with Rob Liefeld.
Hi, everybody. Comic books is the greatest medium. Think it, say it, draw it, make it. Hi, everybody. Love Ricky Gervais on the Globes. Seriously, Hollywood, grow some thicker skin. Hey, everybody. I'll be at Wizard World, New Orleans in 2 weeks. Never ventured to the French Quarter before. Very excited.
You are locked in to the Dollar Bin. People don't talk like that.